You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
So grateful that you could join us. And as always, if you like what you hear today, don't forget to click that share button. Don't forget to let us know where you're watching from. It's always an honor to connect with those that are on the other side of that camera. God bless you as you tune in today. Grab your Bibles if you would. Open it up anywhere you want to. I'll be by there in just a minute. We're gonna start a brand new series called Signs. Turn to the person next to you and tell them signs. Come on, signs. God's people followed signs. Old Testament, New Testament, God still sends signs. And as we approach the Christmas season, we want to talk more about the signs that pointed the way to Christ. And so as we're digging into God's word, we're going to actually start in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to talk about the wise men visiting the newborn Christ. And so this is an amazing trip that we can pick up on. And as we're looking at what happened in the Bible, God still speaks things to us today as we're focusing our attention upon his word. So Matthew chapter 2. We're going to kick it off in verse 2. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Mr. Miyagi from the east came to Jerusalem. Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? Now, can you imagine for the moment that they go into the king's house and said, where's the king? That's a problem for the king. He's like, you're looking at the king. I'm the king of the Jews. No, not you, the real king. That's a problem. King Herod had a major problem with these men coming visit him and asking him that question. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? They say, we saw his star. We saw the sign when it went up. We saw the star when it rose. And we have come to worship, not you. We've come to worship him. We saw his star, we follow the signs, we follow the moving of God, we see the signs pointing the way to the new king. Let me just remind you of this, wise men still seek Jesus. Wise women still seek Jesus. Wise people are still looking for the signs pointing to Christ. Let that be me, let that be you, that we follow the signs, that we find the heart of God for our lives, for our children, for our finances, for our direction. Lord, where are you leading us? I want to remind you that God does not want his will to be a secret from you. It's not some great mystery that God wants to be kept hidden from you. He wants you to know his pleasing and perfect will. He wants you to know that you have a purpose. And God gives us signs that we can follow if we're willing to let him lead. Here's the great thing that we find about this story is that when God is moving, his people are expected to notice and respond. His people are expected to notice and respond. God's always given signs to his people, and he expects us, his sons and daughters, to hear, to see, to be watching, and to be able to be moving with what he is leading us towards. He expects us to notice. He expects us to respond. We see this Old Testament, New Testament. The Bible tells us that God had a burning bush. That's a big deal. He gave a sign to Moses. God tells us that he gave a pillar of fire. He gave a cloud. He moves back the ocean. God does incredible things. He gives signs to let his people know this is the way. Walk in it. God still speaks today in signs. We see that not just Old Testament, but New Testament. The book of Acts says these signs will follow those who believe. So not only are signs going in front of us, signs are behind us. Signs will follow us. Signs, signs, everywhere the signs, as the song used to say. There are signs that we as God's children are supposed to be able to see, to notice, and it calls us to move. We notice and we respond. So let's talk today about following the signs. Just as the wise men were seeking the presence of Jesus, just as they were seeking the newborn king, we today are seeking after the presence of God. We want to be led into the direction that God wants for us to go. Some important things to notice is that where God wants you to go is not always going to be the most comfortable. And I think we make that mistake a lot in our lives, that if God's leading me, if God is in control, then that means nothing bad or uncomfortable can ever happen. That is not the case. As is often the case, God will lead us through places that we would never normally go on our own. We're nervous, we're full of anxiety, but we're following. And God begins to give us peace in the midst of following after the signs. So there's some things that we can glean from this story, things that I want to share with you. When it comes to following the signs, I want to give you three things that are important. If you're a note taker, you're going to want to write this down. I believe God has a plan for your life. God is leading, And this is what's important for us to know. Number one, those who are looking for Christ can find him. And I want you to settle that in your spirit. Those that are looking for Christ can find him. So when we say, I want the will of God for my life, Pastor, help me to find that. I want to make sure that I'm marrying the right person, that I'm quitting my job at the right time, that I'm starting a new business, that I'm doing the things that you've asked me to do. Those that are seeking after the will of the Lord can always find him. Here's the issue. Most of the time, what we're really looking for is not the will of God. We're looking for our own happiness and our own success, and we're hoping that God will just bless it. No, just me. Can we be honest in God's house? That's exactly how most of us would rather live life. God, I want to do these things. I want to be in a great place, and I just want you to bless it. Can I just have what I want, and you just do your part and be the Santa Claus that I know you are and just give me good things? Now, that sounds like a dream, but unfortunately, that's not the God of the Bible. Those that are looking for Christ will always find him. It's a matter of the heart. It's about your heart. You want to find the will of God? It's a heart issue. It's a heart thing. So I have a friend of mine that we've been friends literally from years and years past, and he's not a believer. He's a hardcore atheist, and he and I, when it comes to religion, we have some very, very heated conversations because he's wrong. But here's what I've come to find out about my friend. It's not that he's not a believer. He's angry. He's angry that God did not do what he thought God should have done. And he's not just angry, he's hurt. He feels like if there is a God, then why did these things happen? That doesn't make any sense to me. Therefore, there must be no God. And he and I have talked at length about his own soul, about his future, about what happens after you die. And I'm just an atheist. I don't believe in any of that stuff. And he's a fantastic man, a fantastic friend. He's also a big gambler. He's a big poker player. And so I began to try to develop a relationship with him that would hopefully lead to a place where we could lead him to Christ. And he's just not having it. But here's the thing. One night he called me and he says, hey, what are you doing? And so we're talking back and forth. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm headed to a big poker tournament. This is going to be huge. So pray for me. I'm like, how about I go with you? I felt something stirring from the Holy Spirit. I said, let me go with you. He said, well, come on, I'll pick you up. So he comes and picks me up and we start driving. I said, how far are we going? He said, it's about an hour and a half. I'm like, you got me in the car for an hour and a half? Guess what we're about to talk about? Because your boy don't know how to keep his trap shut. I am what you call a talker. And you let me talk long enough and we're going to get around to my favorite subject, which is Jesus and the condition of your soul. And so we begin to talk about Jesus. He said, you know, I don't believe in that stuff. I'm like, yeah, you do. You're just mad. Tell him like it is. Come on, somebody. We're going back and forth. And I said, you know, what would Jesus have to do to prove that he's real? Because you know he is. You know God is real. You know he sent his son to die for you. You know this. You know it in your heart of hearts. I know it's there. Yeah, I don't believe in that stuff. I said, well, what sign would God have to give you to prove to you that he exists? What would it take for you to turn your life over to Christ? He's like, I'd like to win about $8,000 tonight. I said, done. Done. You said it. So you're telling me if you go to this poker game and you win about $8,000, that's the price that it would take for you to say, there must be a God who heard my prayer, and I'm going to turn my life over to Jesus. He said, I would stand up and scream, hallelujah, if I won $8,000. As would I. We sit down at this poker table, and I'm sitting behind him, and I watch him begin to play. They deal the first round of cards, and he lifts up his cards, and I see his cards, ace, ace. Uh-oh. They deal the next couple of cards. He's sitting on trip aces. He begins to bet, sends out a huge bet. First thing comes around, everybody ends up folding. He wins the whole pot, about $1,000 in his pocket. Woo! I said, here we go, Lord. Here we go. Second hand comes around, same thing. He wins again and again and again. We're there about 35 minutes. He wins the first 10 or 12 hands. It's just ridiculous. He's on a hot streak. I look down at his hand. I'm counting. He's at $7,500. And woo, he's feeling it. He's on a hot streak tonight. And I reach over and I touch him on the shoulder. I said, that's $7,500. We're only $500 away from getting you saved. He said, I'm out. He pulls his chips back, put it in my pocket. I can't do this. I got to go. And I'm like, well, no. Wait, you sit down. You've got some more money to win. He said, I can't do that. I said, you don't want Jesus to be Lord. Here is God proving himself to you. He's given a sign. He's blessing you on the front end like my God always does, wanting to have a relationship with you. But you don't want to see the signs because you're not looking. And it's a matter of your heart. It's a heart thing. Those that are looking for Christ can always find him, especially when they're looking with all their heart. It's a matter of the position and the condition of your heart. The book of Jeremiah tells us this. In chapter 29, many of us have the verse 11 memorized, and that's a favorite tattoo of a lot of believers. But notice verse 13 says this. He says, you're going to seek me and find me. How do we do that? When you seek me with your, somebody say the next word. Heart. Look at the person next to you and tell them it's a heart thing. Look at your second choice and say, I should have turned to you first. I'm sorry about that. But it's a heart thing for you too. Those that are seeking Christ can always find him. But those that find his will are those that are looking with their heart. Now, there's a group of people in Jesus' time. They were called the Pharisees. They were looking for the Messiah, but he was literally standing right in front of them. They studied their whole life about the Messiah, the king that was to come. And Jesus' ministry is happening all around them, miracle after miracle after miracle, signs and wonders. And they're like, I don't know. Show us another sign. I wasn't there for Lazarus getting up out of the grave. I'm not sure if I believe that one. I've seen some David Copperfield stuff, and that David Blaine guy was pretty cool too. Are you just another magician? Because that sounds like what you're doing. Give me a sign. Always asking for a sign. And Jesus, in his frustration, tells them this. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, he says, you're an evil and adulterous generation. In other words, there's something wrong with your heart. You're asking for a sign, and I'm right in front of you. But you won't see it because there's something wrong with your heart. You're an evil and adulterous generation. He says, no sign will be given to you except for one. I'm going to give you one sign. What's that sign, Jesus? I'm going to go to the grave for you. Just like Jonah went in the belly of a fish for 3 days, I'm going to go into the belly of the earth. And I'm going to come out with the keys to death, hell, and the grave so that your heart can change. Why would Jesus give them that sign? For their hearts. They're seeking after the Messiah, but refuse to see it. When it's standing right in front of them, how can we miss it? Your heart's wrong. The same is said for us today. I'm looking for a sign from the Lord. I'm looking for direction for God for my life. Seek him with your heart. Don't try to put him in a box. Seek him with your heart. Here's what we know, that the Lord rewards those who seek his heart with all of theirs. Let me ask you this quick question. When was the last time you put your heart into it? What was the last thing you put your heart into? Let's just break this down on a very practical level. When was the last time you put your heart into your marriage? Think about that. When was the last time you put your heart into your parenting? I care deeply about these kids, and I'm going to show it. I'm going to do it with all of my heart, much less our relationship with Jesus. I want to seek after him with all my heart. I want to put some passion into it. That word in the original language of Hebrew, when it talks about seeking me with your heart, doesn't mean just the organ. It doesn't mean just the heart itself. It means your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect. It means everything that you've got, the innermost being of who you are, focusing on following after the Lord. He said, those people that seek me with that kind of passion, they're going to find me. It's a matter of the heart. We see this not only with the Pharisees looking at Jesus, the Messiah, and not seeing him because of the condition of their heart, but we see it in others. In Matthew chapter 2, it tells us that the Magi come to King Herod. They ask him, where is the king of the Jews? I'm the king of the Jews. No, the real king. That's a problem. He says, well, when you find him, you come back and report to me, and I'm going to go worship him too. He didn't want to worship. He wants to kill him. Because I'm the king, not him. Now, I wish we could get into that theologically, but that's the problem that many of us have. No, Jesus isn't the king. It's Elvis, then me, right? You come back and report to me, and then I'll go worship him too. No, your heart's wrong. But then Herod does something. He goes to his biblical scholars, the teachers of the law, those that studied the law and were the best at it. They worked for the king. He said, I want you to go back and look in the Bible, look in the Old Testament, and tell me, where is this king supposed to be born? Like, we don't have to look in the Bible. We can quote Micah chapter 5. We know exactly where the king's going to be born. Where's he going to be born? He's going to be born in Bethlehem. It's just south of us. So the wise men follow the star, come to a palace. And the biblical scholars say it's going to be in Bethlehem. That's your next sign. And this is a problem for King Herod. He gets the best biblical scholars that could possibly exist, and they tell him exactly where Jesus is to be born. Look at this. When King Herod heard this, verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he called together all the teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. Here's my question to you. Why didn't they go? If you know where Jesus is supposed to be, if you know that he's the King of Kings that has been prophesied about for 400 years, if you studied it your whole life, why didn't they go? Now, my first thought when I was reading this was, you know, Israel is not a huge country, but maybe this is a navigation issue. Maybe this is a long journey. And I'm from the day of pull-down maps. Anybody remember those pull-down maps? Remember that? Back in the day, some of you are like, no, maps are on your phone. There was a time before phones. We used to actually pull out the old Rand McNally. We had to pull down maps back in the day. When you look at a map, it's interesting because distance is not an excuse. From the palace in Jerusalem to Bethlehem where Jesus is born, guess how long of a trip that is? 6 miles. 6 miles. You can drive there today in heavy traffic and be there in 19 minutes. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone said, hey, can you take me someplace? It's 19 minutes away. It's 6 miles down the road. If I really want to go, that's not a big deal at all. I would walk that far for Chick-fil-A. Come on, somebody. I've walked farther than that in middle school when some girl thought she liked me. I'd walk there in snow, uphill both ways. If your heart's in it. 6 miles from the palace to the stable. We know where Christ is. He's going to be born in Bethlehem, 6 miles away. But they didn't go. Because they're seeking after Christ, not with their heart, but with their mind. And I still know people today that will study God's word and miss his presence. That will dive deep into scripture and never experience any of the practical spirit-led life. Let me just remind you of this very important point. If you study Jesus but never respond to his presence, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. We see this happen over and over again in scripture where God is moving and breathing and speaking. We see this happening in our world today. God is pushing us and pulling us and leading us and guiding us. And there's still a group of us like, yeah, that's no thanks. I'm more comfortable over here. If you don't experience the presence of God, you're missing the point. It's a beautiful thing. This is how we find what's next for our lives. This is how we develop a relationship with Jesus that's more than just words on a page, but a lifestyle that we choose and a submission that we give to our King. This is how we follow the signs. You get to know him. You get to know him personally. It's not just words on a page, but it's a God that knows me and I know him. We find that when you put your heart into it. Here's the second key I want to share with you that we can find from this story. Following the signs. Number two, God gives extraordinary signs through ordinary things. Extraordinary signs through ordinary things. And this is what I found to be true when somebody says, I'm looking for a sign from God. God, give me this sign. They always want something that could never, ever happen or something that's hugely extraterrestrial. You know, we want a UFO to fly over right now. God, if you want me to marry this woman, let a UFO come and tell me right now. And if that's not what you want, you know, then give me no sign. God, if you want me to eat this whole pizza, give me no sign. That will be done. Like, come on. But God uses ordinary things in extraordinary ways. So I want to tell you this to make sure that you don't miss what God may be speaking to you. God has a plan for your life, and he will show you extraordinary things through ordinary things. There's nothing extraordinary about a bush that Moses had until it catches on fire and it doesn't burn up. That's extraordinary out of the ordinary. So when stars begin to show up in the sky, stars are an ordinary thing. You see them every night, especially if you move into East Texas and stay here, you can see stars. I come from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you can't see nothing. Every single night, there's so much light pollution. But you come to East Texas, look up at the stars at night, like, oh, this is great, I can see the stars. Here's what we know about ordinary stars. They appear pretty much every night. And stars, based upon the rotation of the earth, they move from east to west. Which direction? It's east, right? This is east. East to west. Stars move that because of the rotation of the earth. But this one doesn't just move from east to west. The wise men follow it from the east to the west. This one changes direction. Stars don't do that. This one begins to move north to south. From the palace to Bethlehem. God uses ordinary things that do extraordinary when God is trying to give us a sign. God will use ordinary people, ordinary words, ordinary signs that when you're seeking after him with all your heart, begin to make sense. It clicks. Oh, wait a minute. That's extraordinary. That's different. I hear you, Lord. I see you. Okay, I'm following after you. I'm on the right path. This is a beautiful part of having the spirit-led life. I can see ordinary things that begin to transfer into the extraordinary. The natural becomes supernatural. So stars begin to change direction. And the wise men said, we saw that star rise. We followed it from the east to the west. Now it's going from the north to the south. Think about that. When something is going from east to west and changes direction from north to south, what does that show you? It shows me that from the very beginning, God had the cross in mind. And everything that we're looking for points back to the cross, where a Savior was born, where God himself wrapped himself in flesh, took on the sin of all mankind. He says, I'm going to give you a sign that you don't have to settle for the life that you settled for, that you can become extraordinary when I've made my home in your hearts. God uses ordinary things in extraordinary ways when his presence makes its home there. So the wise men, they're looking for a king. Where do they go? They go to a palace. Of course, that makes a lot of sense. But the real king's not in the palace. The real king is 6 miles away. And here's the thing. Where the king was an ordinary house. But it became a palace the moment that the king was born there. The moment that it hosted the presence of Almighty God, an ordinary home becomes extraordinary. And the same is true, please hear me, for your home. Your home may be ordinary in every way until you begin to center it on the presence of Jesus. And this is a place that most people still today won't go. Let Jesus be on Sundays. But as far as being the Lord of my home, as far as Jesus being the Lord of Monday through Saturday and the way that I operate in my home, the way that I treat my spouse, the way that I treat my children, the way that I give and love and serve and interact with people, the way that I argue. This is how God takes an ordinary person like me and an ordinary person like you and begins to do extraordinary things. It's proof that he's living on the inside of our hearts. It's an ordinary house, but it hosts the King of Kings. Let me just remind you of that. An ordinary home becomes extraordinary when it's centered on God's presence. What's your home centered on? Is it centered on your rules? Is it centered on looking perfect for your neighbors? Is your home centered on your attitude? What's your home centered on? What's it built on? What's the foundation that you've built your home on? And could it be that God has something extraordinary that he wants to do in your home? How do I do that? I do that by seeking after the Lord with all of my heart and building my home on the presence of God, not the presence of me. That's where it becomes extraordinary. So how does God do extraordinary things with ordinary people like me? I remind you, it's a heart thing. The book of Ephesians tells us this in Ephesians chapter 3. It says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. What do I do? He said, just trust in him. Trust him. The King of Kings wants to make his home in your heart, and he wants you to trust him. Here's the third and final thing I want to share with you. Number three, according to this story, seekers become givers when they follow the signs. Here's an important transition for us. We can capture this from the story. So the Magi come from the east. They go to the palace. From the palace, the star changes direction from north to now south. They follow the signs all the way to a home and find the newborn king. And in that moment, the mission changes. They're no longer seekers, now they're givers. This is a great pattern for us to follow, because when we find the presence of God, when we find where God is leading us, we don't just sit back and take a nap. I've finished, I've arrived, I'm here. No. In that moment, they do something special. So the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary and they worshiped him. The Greek word here is proskuneo, which means they get on their face and begin to worship this King of Kings. Back in the day, we'd say they fell prostrate before the Lord. You have to be very careful when you're saying that word in biblical circles, because you will undoubtedly mess it up, as I've done many times. But it's an act of submission. It's an act of worship. There's still something powerful about each of us worshiping the Lord with all of our hearts, being on our knees and saying, Lord, you're the King. I'm here to worship you. I'm not here to sit back and enjoy the show. I'm not saying I've arrived. The mission has changed. I was a seeker, and now I'm a giver. On entering the home, they saw the child. They saw his mother Mary, and they worshiped him. It says, then they presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, we could go theologically into why each of these gifts is so important, and there's so much that we could dive into. For the sake of time, just know that it was a big deal. These were very costly things. So they worshiped him, and then they gave, and they gave generously. And this is a part of our lives that many people would still never cross over into. I'm a seeker for the presence of God. I want his will for my life. I will seek after him with my whole heart. And when I find the presence of God, I never transition into becoming a giver. I never transition into becoming a worshiper. I don't like that part of my life. No thanks. I want you to notice the pattern that wise men still seek Jesus. And wise men, when they find the presence of God, begin to do wise things like worship him. And then they begin to give. They give out of their treasures. They give things that are expensive. They give things that cost them something. I love what David said when it talks about bringing an offering to the Lord. He said, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. He's worthy of the best that I have. And I want to just make sure that we don't gloss over the fact of the worth of our King. Too many times in my own life, in the life of many believers that I know, we give God whatever's left over if we have that. But they worshiped him and they gave and they did it generously. And I want you to see something very special happens in their life. When these wise men find the baby, they worship him and they begin to give. And what does God do? God gives back. God gives them things that they couldn't buy with their money. God gives them all a dream, and God begins to warn them and show them exactly what to do next. God gives them wisdom, gives them direction. Gives them a warning. Don't you want those things for your life? I do. I want God's wisdom leading me. I want him to warn me when stuff is happening. So in verse 11, it says, they presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Or route, if you're from the northeast. They left differently than the way that they came. That's important. Because a sure sign that you've been with Jesus, amen, you're going to change. Your heart's going to change. The book of Ezekiel said, God says, I'm going to take that heart of stone, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to begin to change your heart. It's no longer about you, but you're being led by my Spirit. You can follow the signs. You follow them with all your heart. Now I'm going to give you the next thing. Go this way. So when they became givers after they were seekers, God began to give them supernatural direction and wisdom and warning. I want that for my life. You want that for your life. Seekers become givers when they follow the signs. Here's something that's interesting that happens. So the Magi leave after they've given their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, these beautiful, expensive gifts that they brought to the baby king. And then the angel shows up again and it tells Joseph, he says, now you're not going to go back to your hometown. You're not going back to Jerusalem. Now you're going to go to Egypt. Now you're going to leave to a different country. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you're in a financial place where if God told you tomorrow morning, you got to go to Africa, you're like, you're going to have to provide supernaturally. Maybe you're in a place where you're like, I can do that. Good for you. For the rest of us, God's going to have to provide because we're limited by our own resources. But when God told Joseph to get up and go to a new country, Joseph was able to obey because the wise men were generous. And this is how you leave a legacy. Sometimes in your life, you're going to be called to be obedient. And God will use other people around you who are following the signs to be generous so that you can be obedient. Other times in your life, it's your turn to be generous so that someone else can be obedient. Now Joseph could afford to get up and move his family to another country for several years to keep the baby safe because other wise men were willing to be generous. You see, generosity unlocks things. Generosity is able to unlock a chain of events that does more than we realize. It's a bigger deal than what we think. And when God's people can respond to the signs that God has given them and be obedient and be trusted, God will do great things on down the line. He expects you to see and to respond and to follow the signs of where he's leading you. And when you do your part, other people can do their part. And this is how the body of Christ begins to work. God says, we're not all hands and we're not all elbows, you know. We each have a part to play. And God's people are expected to follow the signs, to see and to respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Can you receive that, everybody? Is that okay? As we finish up right there, I want to remind you of a couple of things that are happening and ways that you can get practically behind this word that you've just heard. We have something called Legacy Sunday that's going to be happening in 2 weeks. And as a matter of fact, it won't be just Legacy Sunday. It's going to be Legacy Sundays. This has gotten so big that we've got to put it on two different Sundays. And this is a day not only of accountability, but also a day of great celebration, because I want to show you what your generosity has done for the kingdom of God. I asked you a couple of years ago, I said, if you will stand behind us as we choose to get out of debt, I want to show you what we can do if we don't have to pay the bank every single month for this building. And you guys responded and paid off this building. This was $2.2 million. I didn't have that. No one person in this room had that. But God began to move on all of us at the same time. And you guys responded. We paid this thing off in record time. And in the process, bought a building two doors over for us that was 500 grand. You guys paid that off in 90 days. That's incredible generosity. We're not just here as seekers. We're here as givers. And I love that about this church. This is a generous church because people have found the presence of God and they respond when God is moving. And so we're going to celebrate that on Legacy Sunday on December 15th and December 22nd. I'm going to show you video after video after video of the hundreds of thousands. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. Hundreds of thousands of people's lives who are forever changed because of your generosity. It is nuts what we have been able to do. I've had to keep my, as we say it in East Texas, I had to hold my taters. Hold your taters. Don't say nothing. And it's so exciting to watch what God has done through your generosity. You guys have absolutely made it possible for other people around the world to be obedient to what God has called them to do. They could not have done this without your help. This is a generous church. It's full of the wisdom of following after the signs. We're not just seekers here. We found him, the one who our soul loves. And we respond with worship and we respond with generosity. So on December 15th and December 22nd, I'm gonna get to show you where all the money goes. You ought to know that as believers. Churches don't show people. I wanna show you. It ought to be something that we can be accountable for and we can celebrate. Look what God did. Look what we were able to do together. And at the end of both of those services, I'm gonna give you a chance to respond and ask the Lord what could be your part in setting us up for success for next year. I'm gonna show you what we're doing with the money. I'm gonna show you where I believe the Lord is leading us to go next. And I want you to come prepared to give if the Holy Spirit should lead you to do that. I will never ask for money for you. I don't do that. What I will say is I'm going to ask you to listen to the Holy Spirit. And whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, I want you to respond and just say yes. Be obedient to whatever God tells you to do. That's the heartbeat of everything that we're going to do here. Listen to the Lord and let him speak to you and respond exactly how he tells you to respond. It's a beautiful thing to be able to follow the signs and to know that I'm doing what God has asked me to do. I'm playing my part. This is how we become contributors and not just consumers. Can you receive that, everybody? So as we finish up today, I want to invite you to go ahead and put away your notes and your Bibles, and nobody's going to steal it. Set it down next to you for just a second. We're just going to have a moment where we respond to what the Holy Spirit may be speaking to us today. For some of us, as we come into God's presence, God's speaking to you about a major move that you're about to make. For others, there's some boundaries that you need to draw. For some people in this place, there's a new step of faith. There's a new season coming for you. For others, there might be correction. There's some things that you know you've been doing. The Holy Spirit's saying, it's time to stop. It's time to mature. Why don't you leave this in 2024? Let's not walk into 2025 with that. Whatever the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you, I want to encourage you to say yes. I hear you, Lord. Will you strengthen me and help me to follow the signs of what you're telling me to do? Would you bow your head and close your eyes all over this place and simply say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me, Lord? Lord, what's next for me? I want to seek you with my heart. I'm going to put my heart into this. I want to know that this next season of my life is your season. Lord, I make a mess of my life. I make a mess of my family if I'm led by my own desires. Lord, don't let me do that. I want to be yours. I'm going to seek after you with all my heart. Holy Spirit, would you speak to each and every one of us as we gather here today, as we submit our will, as we seek after you, would you begin to give us signs? Show us. in extraordinary ways through ordinary things, exactly what you want from each of us, we will obey you. And now with heads bowed and eyes closed all across this place, perhaps you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I'm so far from God right now. My friend, you are in the right place. If you could see it, God himself is reaching out his hand to you right where you are. The question is, will you respond to him? Perhaps today is a sign for you to come home. And if that's you with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you right where you are to pray a prayer. I'll tell you what to say. You don't have to pray it out loud if you don't want to, but you can. You can pray it with a whisper. It doesn't matter. The most important thing is that you believe it. If you want a relationship with Jesus, pray this prayer with me right now. Pray these words. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died. And I believe that you rose from the grave. You did that, Lord, so that I could have life and forgiveness for my sins. Will you please forgive me? I've messed up. I've fallen short. Will you forgive me? Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I give my life to you right now. Thank you for loving me. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed all across this place, if you just prayed that prayer, if you meant that prayer, if you prayed that prayer with me, would you do me a favor? Would you look up at me and lift up your hand all across this place? That was me, Pastor. I prayed that prayer. I see you good. Anyone else today, would you lift up your hand all across this place? That was me. I prayed that prayer. If you're watching online, I want you to know that this is for you as well. If you prayed that prayer, there's a phone number appearing on the screen that you're watching right now. I want to invite you to send the words, I prayed. Text those two words, I prayed, to the number that's on your screen. And I'm going to send you the link to some things that I've prepared just for you. It'll let you know what just happened inside of your heart and what you should do next. I'm super proud of you and the decision that you just made. Let us help you continue walking with Christ. It's the greatest honor of my life to help people know Jesus. And I'm proud of you. Good for you. For everybody else, High Ridge family, go ahead and look up at me if you would, and let's stand to our feet together. We want to thank all of you for watching online. If you like what you heard, click the share button. It's always a beautiful thing when you use your social media influence to share this with the world. People need the message of Jesus. People need to be able to follow the signs. And I believe that if you use your social media influence, God can do great things through people like you. You can make a difference today. I'm going to invite our elders and their wives forward. We're going to be available to pray for you. As we end our services today, I want to say thank you to some of my special friends came to celebrate 25 years with me. So I have Jerry and Ellen Brown here with me all the way from Fort Worth. Would you guys tell them hello? Love you guys so much. They love being embarrassed, so make sure you give them a big hug and tell them, give them a big kiss on the lips. They don't know that's how we don't do that in Longview. They don't know. Also, I have my parents here. So this is my mom, my dad, Deborah, and Dr. Jeff Ingram. Love having you all the way from Mineral Wells. And of course, David and Stacy Howell, we love you. Always a pleasure to have you guys here with us as well. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. You guys are wonderful. So make sure you show your love to them. And then as always, I want to bless you and send you out with the best blessing I got. So Father, would you bless my friends with an incredible week? Would you let them follow the signs? Let them be blessed in their marriages. Let them be blessed in their decisions. Bless their finances, Lord. Bless the relationships that they have with their children. Bless their homes, Lord. And I ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And all of us said together, amen. God bless you as you go. I hope you have an awesome week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.